We're going to open the Word of God tonight to the book of Psalms, Psalm 31, and we're going to read that psalm together. Psalm 31, the entire psalm. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thine ear to me and deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly, for my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, O ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, O ye that hope in the Lord. The text tonight will be the first part of verse 15, just the first line, my times are in thy hands. Oftentimes God, from the circumstances of our life, will teach us great lessons. Sometimes God speaks through the circumstances of our life very loudly. If we become sick, if we lose a loved one, if things plummet for us economically, if we have an accident, if there's death in our family, God is speaking very loudly to us. And he intends those things to be lessons to us to learn some great things. We learn from the frailty, we learn of the frailty and the brevity of our lives. We learn to love and appreciate the things that God has given to us. We learn to look heavenward, to be patient as we live our lives in this world. And so God teaches us sometimes very loudly through the circumstances of our life. But God also teaches us through His Word. And that word for the child of God is the thing that interprets for him the lessons that God is teaching in his life. That is, the truth for the child of God go together. There are the hard lessons of life, but there is for the child of God the Word of God that comes along and that will teach him to understand the difficult things in life. A person who doesn't believe in the Word of God will not hear the Word of God and the lessons of God and the circumstances of life. It's only with the Word of God and faith in the Word of God that we will learn from the things that God sends to us in our lives. And so tonight, we have an event in our lives, a circumstance. It's the end of another year. Time has passed. And so we're thinking about the passing of time. But as we do that tonight, we do it from the point of view of the Word of God, so that we understand what God's Word says about the passing of time. God wants us to learn tonight from this event, the end of the year. But we will learn only when we look at it through the eyes of Scripture. And so we want to look at Psalm 31, verse 15, "My times are in thy hand." That will be our theme, "My times in thy hand." And we'll notice three things tonight. First, the confession. This is a personal confession. The psalmist says, "My times." Then we'll notice, secondly, the explanation. How is it that somebody can say such a thing? And then third, the solemnity. There's a solemn word for all of us in what the psalmist says here in the text. "My times are in thy hand." What is time? Well, time, you understand, is a creature. Time has a beginning, and time will have an end. Time was created by the God who is eternal and has no beginning and no end. When God said in the beginning, for the first time, "Let there be," and there was, then time began. And there comes an end to time. And so time is a servant of God. It's something that God uses to accomplish his purpose in the world and in the universe. And when God is finished with time, time will no longer be. Time is a creature. And yet, as we think about it, we don't think of time as a creature. And we don't think of time as a creature because time is so powerful. It's so great. Of all the creatures that God has made, time is perhaps the greatest of all. We cannot stop time, even though sometimes we might like to because we like the present. We cannot rewind time because something bad has happened and we wished it hadn't and we want to go back to what was good. We cannot press fast forward on time to hurry ourselves through a difficult situation. We cannot slow it down because we're having such a good time. But time itself determines these things. We're bound by time. Time rules us. We sang in in Psalter 247 that time is like an ever-rolling stream that bears all its sons away. That's what time is, like a river. We're carried along by it. God's clock is ticking. And the time is carrying us along, each one, with all the changes of life, to the end that is inevitable. Now, many tonight don't want to hear about that. They don't want to hear that time is carrying them along. They cannot bear to hear such a thing. And so they ignore the reality of the power of time and its change. Perhaps they try to ignore bad things in the past. Perhaps they try to avoid the fears of the future. But we recognize tonight the reality of time. Time brings change. And it's that the psalmist has in mind, especially when he says in the plural, "My times are in thy hand." There are different times and different seasons in the life of every person. The psalmist is referring here to the seasons of change, from childhood to the strength and beauty of youth, to middle age and to old age. There's change from good times to bad times, from happy times to sad times, from times of sickness to times of health, from times of riches to times of poverty, from times of war to times of peace. And the scripture tells us there's a time for all these things. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We confess tonight that we are finite, mutable creatures, subject to the changes that time brings, subject to a variety of events and circumstances in our lives. Nothing is fixed. Nothing is certain. Everything changes, but change itself. This is a confession in the psalm. The psalmist makes this very personal. He says, "My times are in thy hands." He recognizes the changes of life for himself. He's not saying this generally, this is what time is and this is what time does to man. He's not saying this nationally, well, there's a history of the nation of Israel and this is what has happened. But he looks at his own life and the seasons of change in his life and he says, "My times are in thy hands." Each of us have personal experiences. Each of us have personal events and changes. And the great force of time under God carries us along and changes everything. You cannot hide from the changes of time. You cannot say, "Well, I'm going to hide in the crowd," or "I'm going to hide in a corner and escape." We cannot do that. Time and its changes are inevitable. And as the psalmist here faces his own life and the times of his life, they are not all pleasant. He has just talked about that in the previous verses. Look at verse 9. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, my soul and my belly, for my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity." And he's looking at his life. He's looking at the events of his life. He's looking at the years of his life. He's looking at the weight of sin on him. And he says, "My years are spent with sighing and with grief." Later he says, I'm forgotten like a dead man out of mind. Dead and gone, forgotten. He says, like a broken vessel, a shattered pot. Time brings those sorts of things into our lives. Our times, including our end and all the changes between, are not always easy. Really, realistically, this is how they are. We cannot ignore the troubles of life. We cannot wish them away. But they're real. They're real for all of us. And the great question, as we face time and all the changes that it brings for us, the great question is, how can we face this? How can we handle this? What can we do? And the believer's answer is in the text. Can we contend with time? It's not just days and weeks, but it's years and life and all the sorrows that it brings. I remember a Monday this past November when a friend died of a heart attack at 48 years old and left a wife, two unmarried children, eight grandchildren. Just yesterday, I heard about a 43-year-old mother of three who was suddenly killed in a car accident, a member of our Grace Protestant Reformed Church. This is what time brings. How do we face it? These things are coming. These things will come. We can't see these things coming. We can't change these things. And they're coming. They're inevitable. This is what time does. In the text, you have the answer of the child of God. All things are in the hand of my God. This is not only a confession concerning my times, but a confession also concerning my God. Not just a confession about my life here in the earth, but a confession concerning the God who is the sovereign over all of my life. My times are in thy hand. That's God's hand, Jehovah's hand, the unchanging, eternal covenant God. My times are in thy hand. Does God have a hand? Boys and girls, does God have hands? No, God doesn't have hands. And so what the psalmist is doing here is giving us a figure to help us to understand something about our lives and the times and the changes of our lives. This is an anthropomorphism. That is, God takes something from our lives, from our human bodies, to explain something about himself. What is the hand for? Why do we have hands? Well, the hands hold things, the hands move things, the hands grip things, the hands are versatile, the hands are necessary, they're strong, they're essential to the body. If a person doesn't have hands, a person can hardly live. And God gave us hands. God created our hands so that we could understand something about Him and His hand with regard to our life and all things in time. By hand here, the psalmist refers to the sovereign control and power of God, the providence of God over all things. This is the hand of God that in the beginning formed all things. This is the hand that today holds everything in its place. This is the hand out of which God feeds man and beast and all creatures. This is the hand which the scriptures tell us holds the heart of the king and turns it whithersoever God wills. This is the hand that you read of in the scriptures. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? This is the hand of the eternal architect of the heaven and the earth. This is the hand of the eternal God of election and reprobation. This is the hand of the one who works all things according to his purpose in the beginning. This is the hand that determined to save a people. This is the hand that holds the people. None, Jesus says, shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. This is our Father's hand. This is the hand of God. And the psalmist is saying this, that all our ways, all the changes of our life, all the seasons of our life, all our time, all our days, all our years, are in the hands of God. In Jeremiah 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps, not in our hand. Proverbs 16, verse 9, A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. We make the plans, but God directs our steps. Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, because the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. God has us, our days, our lives, our existence, every detail in His hand. Psalm 48 verse 14 puts it this way, this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. This God, not the puny God of the modernist that has no control over anything, not the God of evolution or blind fate, but this God, the God of the covenant, the God who's eternal, the God who's sovereign, the God who has redeemed and saved a people to Himself, the God who's called in this scripture the eternal God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of righteousness, the God who forgives sinners, the God who justifies, the God who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. This God is our God, and our times are in His hand. And this is wonderfully comforting. It means that all the circumstances of our life are controlled by Him, even when we cannot see it. We cannot always see it. Sometimes things in our life seem to be out of control. The most perplexing question sometimes for the child of God is to bring together the sovereignty and the providence of God and the difficult circumstances of my life in the present. God is good. God is powerful. And yet, these things happen to me. How can it be? We sometimes are tempted, like Jacob, to say, all these things are against me. But you see, the answer to this question, to this dilemma for the child of God, doesn't come by our being able to explain all the events of life, but it comes through faith. We do not know God's ways. We do not always know our ways, but God knows His ways from the beginning, and God knows our ways from the beginning, and God has a purpose in all things. Through faith, through the logic of faith, which compares things temporal with things eternal, we see that our times are in God's hand. We compare the changes of life with the unchanging promises of God. Job says in Job 24 verse 1, and it's really a question, he says this, why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they not know Him that see His days? He's saying this, if God knows everything, why doesn't He show it to us? Why don't we know? And then he says this, but He knoweth the way that I take, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He sees, it doesn't matter if I know or don't know. What matters is this, God knows and God sees, and my times are in His hand. Paul in Romans 8 verse 18 uses the same logic of faith to compare the things of this time with things eternal. And he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the joy that shall be, with the glory that shall be revealed. And in 2 Corinthians 4, 7, a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's the logic of faith. Weighing things temporal with things eternal. Weighing what's in our lives and our knowledge and our control with God's knowledge and God's control of all things. And that's comforting. It affords peace to the child of God. It assures us of eternal life. Our destiny is not in our hands, but our destiny is in the hands of God. And it's sealed by God. And God is leading us there by His counsel, by His hand, day by day, in every circumstance of life, every work, every detail, everything that God is doing in your life today, that God will do in your life here in the earth, has eternal dimensions to lead us afterward to glory. I don't need to fear. Even in sudden tragedy, I don't need to be afraid. If today is my last day on earth, wonderful thought, it's my first day in glory. I need not fear. My times are in God's hands. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Philippians chapter 1. He says, for me to live is Christ. And he's saying by that, I have everything that I need in this life, Christ, and with him all things. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. That's even better. You've heard of win-win situations. Well, here's the ultimate. He's got everything he needs in life with Christ. And if he dies, well, that's even better. To be with the Lord, he says, is much better. My times are in thy hands. Not in my hands, not these hands. Not in your hands, not in your employer's hands, not in your enemy's hands, not in anybody's hands, not in Satan's hands, but in God's hands. That's an amazing, remarkable thing about the child of God. He loves God, even when the times of his life are difficult, because his times are in God's hand. Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, because my times are in God's hand. Now, what's the explanation for this? How is it that anyone facing life can say such a thing? How is it that anyone can believe such a thing about all the times of his life? It's certainly not a confession that everyone will make. Many will come into difficult times in their life and they'll either deny that God has anything to do with it. How could God have anything to do with this? Or they'll throw insults at God. How does he dare to do this? My times, the psalmist says, are in thy hands. How can we say it? The foundation for it, beloved, the basis of it is this, that Jesus Christ has redeemed us, and not only are our times in God's hands, but we, our lives, our person, our souls, our eternal well-being, all that we are is in the hand, not of ourselves or anyone else, but in the hand of God. This is a confession of the redeemed. In verse 5, the psalmist says, Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. And he means this, God owns him. God has purchased him. He's not his, but he belongs to the Lord. His soul, spirit, eternal state, himself, all that he is not in his care, but in God's care. I'm not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be in the hand of the Lord. And only the one who's redeemed, only the one who has been entrusted by God to the arms of Jesus Christ. When Jesus says, all these have been given to me before the world was. Only the ones purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, the ones whom Christ redeems with his blood, only they will say, my times are not in my hands, but in thy hands. In John chapter 10, this is very beautiful, verses 28 and 29, Jesus says this, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's one side of it. And then he says in verse 29, the next verse, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And he's saying two things there. Two things that cannot be reversed. There is his redemption of us in the cross and the payment for the sins of those who were given to him of the Father, which can never be reversed. And he's saying this, because of that, you're in my hands. But also this, no one can pluck them out of my Father's hand, which gave them to me. Father, in eternity, chose who would be his and gave them to the Son. And that cannot be reversed. Here's the certainty, the foundation, the basis. God, who redeems us today, has eternally loved us and given us to his Son. And that comes out in the psalm too. This, you would have noticed, is a messianic psalm. The words in the beginning of verse 5 are the words of Jesus. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. And those are the words that Jesus spoke from the cross at the end of his suffering, where he spoke not as an individual, just as a person, but he spoke as the mediator and the representative of the people that he had come to save. When he said, into thy hands I commit my spirit, he's saying, Lord, receive me now as the mediator, the representative who suffered for these thy people. He spoke as the redeemer. And he was committing not just himself, but all that the Father had given to him back into the hands of the Father. And you see, this is also our confession. Into thy hand I commit my spirit, for thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. But we couldn't say that except Christ says it. Except Christ had gone to the cross and suffered and paid and purchased us. Thou hast redeemed me. But these are the believer's words. You remember Stephen in Acts chapter 6, as he was stoned to death, he said these words too. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And here's the foundation. Not just the times of your life, not just what happened yesterday and what will happen tomorrow, what's happened this past year and what will happen next year are in the hands of God. But as redeemed, our eternal welfare, our souls, are in the hand of God. And Christ has put his life down to redeem us and purchase us as his own. And so the promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You see, there's the foundation. Something that can never, never be changed. My times, my spirit, my life, my eternal well-being is in the hand of God. Maybe we can put all this another way. As the Apostle Paul does, you've trusted in the Lord to save your soul from hell. Don't you believe that the one who will save your soul from hell will care for you from day to day in the sufferings of your life? That's what Paul says in Romans 8, verse 32. He says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. This is what God did. He gave his own son. Will he not with him freely give us all things? Why are you concerned, says Jesus, about what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll put on? Your Father knows that you have need of all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God. And so that's the beautiful and the comforting truth here. My times are not in my hands, but in God's hands, who's purchased me to be his own with the blood of his Son. Now let's close with the solemnity of this text. This is very serious. Very serious for all of us. Tonight the world parties the night away. There are few who take seriously the passing of time. If there are pains in their past, tonight they ignore them or drown them in drink and pleasure. But tonight we must stop. We must pause in the passing of time. There's something very sobering about the passage of time and the words of the text that explain the passing of time. Everyone must take it to heart, especially those who have little regard for God and who live carelessly in this world. There's a lesson. Your times are in God's hands, like it or not. Your times are in God's hands. He's appointed the day of your birth. He's determined all the circumstances of your life. And He's appointed also the day of your death. And that's an appointment. It's appointed unto men once to die. And then the judgment. I say that's an appointment. You may be late for every appointment that you ever have in life, but this is an appointment that you won't miss. Because your times are not in your hands. Your times are in God's hands. And all who live this life without God and without Christ will stand on the judgment day before that God without Christ and without God. That's the solemn warning of the text before us tonight. Your times are in God's hand. We're relatively young. The psalmist Solomon says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Put away a life of carelessness and wickedness. Put away sin. Trust alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ. My times are in God's hands. That's where the psalmist leads us in this psalm. He ends the psalm with a great exhortation. And let this be what we're left with tonight. Let it ring in our minds as we go into the new year. Oh, love the Lord, all ye His saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, tonight as we think about time and what it does, the changes that it brings, it's a great comfort to us to know that Thou art the Sovereign. And as we trust in Jesus Christ and find our redemption in Him and belong to Him, we have the great confidence that all things in life and death will be for our good, to bring us to glory with Thee. What a hope and confidence is ours. Be with us in this night, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We sing number 53. Number 53 from Psalm 23, verse 5. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me.